You should have in your possession faith reminders. If you don't, I got some extras for you. If you don't, I know we're getting a lot out of this. If I spend any length of time on number one, that's as far as I'll get. So I'm just going to remind you in faith reminders. I'm going to read that last sentence. Everybody there? Sick bodies, sick minds, and poverty are all forms of stealing, and God is not a thief. Amen. Let's all read that and say that out loud. That's the one thing. Do they still do tombstones? I'm going to be cremated. I'm not going to go through the cost. And that's going to be when I'm 95. I was going to go to 100, but I don't want to go that long. Praise God. Y'all can make it on your own after 95, can't you? Put that on my tombstone, Brian, if you have any say on that. Sick bodies, sick minds, and poverty are all forms of stealing, and God is not a thief. The reason you got to know that is you really can't operate true Bible faith if you think God's doing bad things to you. That's as easy as I can make that, okay? Number two, God's love is activated into our life by grace through faith. How hard is it going to be to put our website up? And then I've got my four former, I need a title for y'all. I need to have some kind of a title. My answered prayer folk that came back to find out what we've been doing. And I know that last week's sermon really, really connected to y'all. And see, we learned this, I learned this, and then I taught it to this group in the past, and our prayer was that we could get other people that had left to come back and hear what we know now, because it's not just faith, it's also grace. And it's not just grace, it's also faith. It's called living in the balance of grace and faith. James Taylor, let's go up here. So here's what James has put on the website. Not just grace and not just faith, you need both. And I know that when you hear this for the first time and you hear it explained, it's almost like, it's like that's the missing ingredient. That's what I've been missing. And it could be you miss the faith side, or it could be that you miss the grace side. Now, if you came to this church, you didn't miss the faith side. I beat people up with faith. And I apologize to all the people that I beat up with faith. I apologize. But now that you hear the other side and you learn about grace and faith, there's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's like there's a warmth that comes on you. Like, yeah, that's how it hit me. That's the way it works. You can't make God do anything. God's already done everything he's ever going to do for everybody through Jesus Christ. Did y'all hear that? So in number two, here's the sentence I want you to get out of number two. Our faith, by the way, thank Mr. James Taylor for all the stuff he does on our website right there. And leave that on the radio. James Taylor, not the singer James Taylor. Here's the sentence I want you to get out of this. Our faith appropriates what God has already provided by grace. Let's say that out loud together. Our faith appropriates
what God has already provided by grace.
Said another way, you can only receive from God what he's done for you through Jesus Christ. You can only receive from God what he's already done for you through Jesus Christ, which means he's done everything because you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Number three, God has given every born-again believer the measure of faith. Every born-again believer has the faith of Christ. The devil has deceived us into thinking our faith is not big enough. The truth is we have mountain-moving size faith, and we simply have to use it. Now, I have this in bold. Faith is not measured by how much we have, but by how much we use. I'm going to do some props today because I think it'll make it easier to understand. How many of you in your car, in these new model cars, how many of you have a light that comes on when you're getting low on gas? That's just about everybody now, right? So when that light comes on, it means you're getting low on gas, right? And so what's the thing you got to look for if your gas light comes on? So I'm going to pull out of my out of my pocket, out of my back pocket, my wallet. None of you can have it. Jordan, you can't have it. It doesn't belong to you. But in my wallet, I have a thing called, well, I'm going to make it a little bit different. I have a thing called, I was going to do credit card, but I don't want y'all to get bound up by credit card debt. So I have a thing here called a debit card. How many of you have a debit card? So when you use your debit card, it comes out of the bank immediately. So if you use your debit card, what has to be true when you use your debit card? What has to be true? You better have some money in the bank. Jordan, you follow me? Is that the reason why I always ask you what your balance is? I'm driving in my Mercedes. It's a 2015. So all you people that think that preachers are only in it for the money, it's a 2015. I love that car. Best car I ever had. Drives like just smooth as butter. But I'm driving my Mercedes and my gas light comes on. But I know something when my gas light comes on. I know that in my billfold, I have a debit card. And I know that as of right now, there's money in the bank. Now, if we keep the same group of politicians up there that we have now, none of us may not have any money. Ask those dear people that had money in that bank in, what was it called? Silicon Valley. Those multimillionaires, some of them billionaires probably, that could lose all their money. Now, Donnie's telling me that they're going to fix that and shore that up because that could be a bad thing. But generally speaking, or in my own personal life, my gas light comes on and I've got in my wallet a debit card. So do I get nervous? Do I get concerned that I won't have enough gas or I won't have the ability to go to the gas station and put gas in my 2015 Mercedes? Does it make me nervous? Do I fret? Do I call Teresa? Do I call Al and say, Al, pray for me? My gas lights come on. And Al says, well, what you got in your wallet? Well, I got a debit card. You got any money on the debit card? Yeah, well, Al says, what are you calling me for? I got other people to deal with. You see, that's exactly how God is looking at everybody from heaven that's a born-again Christian. He's give every one of us the Lord Jesus Christ. And if your gas light comes on, he's provided everything to us that pertains to life and godliness. That's why Christians shouldn't be nervous and confused like the rest of the world, because we got Jesus. But there's another side to the story. So let me ask you this. That's one side of it. Let me ask you this. What if I don't know I got this in my wallet, though? What if I don't know I got this debit card in my wallet? Am I going to get nervous? Yeah, I'm going to get nervous. So you got to know. First thing you got to do is you got to know. The second thing you got to do is you got to use what you know. So everybody's all confused about faith. And faith is really just acting on God's word. I'm going to show you one other illustration along that. Look at number 3. God has given to every born-again believer the measure of faith. Say this. Say, God has given to me the measure of faith. And faith is not a feeling. Faith is something God put on the inside of you when you were born again. Faith is really acting on what God has given to you. James chapter 2, verse 20. And then instead of using the word works here, we're going to substitute the word action. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without action is dead? Say that with me. O foolish man, that faith without action is dead. All right, my gas light's on. So I head to Fry's. Because I buy a lot of groceries at Fry's and I get a discount on my gasoline. So I head to Fry's and I pull into the gas station at Fry's and I park my Mercedes at the gas pump and I park the car and I sit there. And the attendant's over there looking at me and I'm looking at them and I sit there. And finally, she sees me sitting there in my Mercedes, and she says, what are you doing? And I said, well, my gas light's come on, and so I'm here to get gas. How many of you know the days of self-serve is over? How many of you go back to when you pulled up to the pump, they got remember to have his rag, Goober? What was not Goober, Gomer. No, what was Gomer's cousin? Not Goober. Was it Goober? It was Goober. He had his rag, had his hat on. He'd come out, wash your windows, check your oil, and fill your car up. How do you know the days of that's over? So I'm sitting there. The lady, I roll the window down, and I say, well, I'm here to get gas. And she says, well, there's the gas pump. You know what's got to happen for me to get gas? I've got to reach back here. I've got to pull out my wallet. I've got to pull out my debit card. And I've got to put it into the machine, and then I'll get gas from the gas pump. I could sit there forever at the gas station, and if I don't act on what has to be done, I'll never get gas. See, there's a Godward side to things, and there's a manward side to things. Most Christians want to leave everything up to God. What you have to do is discover that you have the card, but God expects you to take it out and use it. Luke 17:5. I thought that was a pretty good prop. I don't see y'all getting overwhelmed by it. It's a hard crowd. All right, Luke 17:5, and then I want to ask everybody to be honest this morning. I want everybody to be honest. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Nobody's going to think anything less of you. How many of you out there, at some point in your life, Donnie's already got his hand up, Brian's got his hand up, Jordan's even got his hand up, two of them. How many of you in your Christian life have asked God to give you more faith? So it's a logical thing, right? Increase our faith. And don't put verse 6 up yet, because most people would think the Lord would say, okay, well, that's awful humble of you to ask, and I'm just going to overpower you with more faith. No. What's he tell him in verse 6? What's he tell him? So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, smaller than the whatever the space is between my two fingers, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted by the sea, and it would obey you. You can say. Another thing you got to know about faith, it's voice activated. Two things about faith. You have to speak what you believe, and then you have to act on what you said. So you can sit at that gas pump with your debit card, with your gas light on, but you'll never get gas in the car till you pull it out of the wallet, put it in the machine, and pump the gas in the car. Jesus Christ healed all of us, saved all of us, blessed all of us, delivered all of us. There's some amens that belong in here somewhere. But it won't be manifested into none of our lives until we speak the reality, and then we have to act like it's true. You can't go around and ask everybody to deliver you if you've been delivered. Now, you understand people are at different stages, and if this is all brand new to you, we're going to pray for you wherever how you need to be prayed for. But sooner or later, you got to grow up and stand on your own two feet. I'll use Andrew Womack because he don't care if people get mad at him. And I guess we shouldn't care either. I run this group off. But he says sooner or later, you got to take your thumb out of your mouth and grow up and accept the reality that what Jesus did for you belongs to you, and you have a part to play. There is a Godward side, and there is a manward side. The Godward side is all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to you. The manward side is you got to manifest it by voice activating it into your life, and then if you believe you're delivered, you got to act delivered. Make it even harder for you. If you believe you're healed, you got to act healed. If you believe you're set free from depression, you got to act like it. If you believe you're set free from anxiety, you got to act like it. If you believe that you can love your neighbor as yourself, you got to act like it. Faith is an act. Say that one more time. Faith is an act. So this week, or through this process, I have made a commitment to listen to Christian radio and Christian music. Okay? I made a commitment to do that. It's a good thing. I'd say now 50% of the songs glorify God, but you still have that one or two outliers. Okay? So one of my favorite groups, and I'm not going to say the name, but they sing one of my favorite Christian songs, but they have another song, and I'm driving down the road, and they play that song, and the name of the song is, Jesus, Send the Rain. And the point of that song is that if he gets to, you know, not living the Christian life properly, then he wants God to do whatever God needs to do to put something on him so it'll teach him to come back to God. That is a complete misunderstanding of the character of the Father God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit. It's called Jesus, Send the Rain. So, of course, when it's raining and you're outdoors, you typically need this, right? Now, somebody told me that it's bad luck to open an umbrella indoors. About 7 or 8 of you. It's amazing how much y'all know about bad luck. And I don't know how much you know about the book of Galatians. But I mean, I had about 7 people tell me it's bad luck to open an umbrella up indoors. Here's what I say to bad luck. So this gentleman, or this wonderful Christian group that have some wonderful Christian songs, put out a song called Jesus, Send the Rain. Another fellow I was listening to on Christian radio was talking about the fact that God, if you have to do something bad to me to get my attention, I'm going to allow you to do it. Now, what's wrong with that premise, first of all? It violates the truth about God's character. God is love. God is light. There's no darkness in him. So they believe that God is sending rain from heaven, and when they say rain, they think God's sending bad things to you. And because he's doing that specifically to get you corrected. Now, the fundamental problem I have with that is most people that believe that never get corrected. See, because the proof of the pudding ought to be in the eating. You know, you can bring something to a church buffet, but if somebody doesn't eat what you brought and they tell you that they really enjoyed it and thank you for bringing it, but it's sat there and nobody ate it, it means nobody really liked it. And so the proof of the pudding's in the eating. I want to see what's working for people, and if it's working, we ought to attach ourselves to it. So they believe that they got God's sending rain. Here's the real truth. Here's the real truth from the Bible. The first thing I'm going to give you is Hebrews 11:6, because I want you to understand now. By the way, let's remember that God did all this for us by grace. Let's remember that. Let's remember we didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. He made a conscious decision to do all these great things for humanity because he loves us, right? But there's another side to it. It's called faith. But without faith, it is impossible. Everybody use that word. Say that word.
Impossible.
How many of you know about impossible? I guarantee you about everybody in this room has saw all 6 of the Mission Impossibles. And I guess really, if you just go by natural things, there doesn't seem to be anything impossible to Tom Cruise. I mean, you know, he can wreck a helicopter into a mountainside and he's going to be back, I hear, from Mission Impossible number 7. Amen. Sooner or later, he's going to have to die, though, just like James Bond died. Amen. But this verse says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. See, there's a side of this that requires you to really be mature. And I struggle sometimes with maturity. How many of you have seen me for 26 years? Donnie, get your hand down. But there's an element of maturity here because, and then I'll quote, you know, one of Brian's favorite sayings. Sooner or later, you got to put your big boy britches on. You can't just leave everything. You can't use the excuse and leave everything up to God or blame God for all the problems. Sooner or later, you got to accept the reality that things are in our lives, and if they're bad things, they're not from God, and if they're bad things, God has given us a way out. Amen. It's called the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called faith and grace. Again, you can sit at a gas pump in your car until Jesus comes back, and you're never going to get gas in your car until you get your debit card out or your credit card out, or God forbid you actually went to the teller, to the clerk and gave him a $50 bill for the gasoline. And that's what's going on in the Christian church, and that's the reason why this doctrine is so damaging, because we think the rain's coming from this direction. See, every time Jesus prayed, he always lifted his eyes to heaven. The rain can't be coming. If the rain's coming from this direction, let's just all head out somewhere and party. Because what are you going to do? You can't go against the will of God. But the rain's not coming from this direction. Look at what he tells us, the church, in Ephesians 6:16. Look at what he tells us. Look at this. Above all. Everybody say above all.
Above all.
That means above all. Taking the shield of faith. Listen to this now. Let's let the word of God minister to us. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Amen.
Now look at this. Watch this. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The darts aren't coming from this direction. God doesn't have any of those darts. He don't have any evil darts. Jesus said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You don't need your umbrella this direction. And now let's visualize this not being an umbrella. Let's visualize that this is a shield. And the shield is pointed this direction because that's the direction the darts are coming from. Come on now. Can you see that? And it's unknown. It's unknown to a great segment of, and by the way, I want everybody to hear this, wonderful, sincere, genuine Christian people, to my knowledge. The guys that wrote that song, Jesus Bring the Rain, also wrote the song, Who Am I? So I'm giving you a clue of who we're talking about. So they know about God, but they've been mistaught. They've been misinformed. And instead of people getting embracing this and loving this, more people gravitate towards that, because when you gravitate towards that, it takes the responsibility off you, and natural man has never wanted responsibility. I quote this verse probably as much as any verse in the Bible. The first thing Adam said to God after he failed was, that woman you gave me. Couldn't be my fault. I'm Adam. It was your fault, Tarzan. It was you and Jane's fault. Can I get an amen? And you know, God loved them anyway. God loved them anyway. I mean, it's so simple. And the only conclusion that I can reach is that people just aren't reading the Bible, the New Testament. And if they are reading it, they're reading it with doctrinal bias. You can't misunderstand this. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Let's say it out loud, everybody. Come on. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be so if it's sickness and disease, the direction of the shield's right here, not here. If it's depression, the direction of the shield is right here, not here. If it's poverty, lack of funds, the direction of the shield's not here, it's here. You can't do that to me, devil. I'm a child of God. Now, again, understanding that God did all this for you by grace. Don't get all puffed up and beat your chest toward up with other people, but get all puffed up and beat your chest towards the devil. Let me give you one more on that. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. That gets harder and harder to do the longer I live. Don't shout me down now. It'll cause you to drink about all this stuff going on in the world. Amen? Amen. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because you never know what God's going to do. Is that what it says? Be sober, be vigilant, because rain may be headed your way. Dark clouds on the horizon. God's wrath coming at you. No, God's wrath's not coming towards his children. It's coming towards the unbeliever. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. The lion in the Wizard of Oz. Seeking whom he may. You wonder if they ever read these verses. Verse 9. Resist him. Resist him. I got to put my umbrella back up. Got to. I kind of like doing it anyway for effect. Resist him. Steadfast in the. That's pretty good, wasn't it? That's almost like Batman and Robin. Resist him. Resist him. Steadfast in the. Not this. Don't quit this. You don't need this. Now, if you want to have an umbrella of protection, like the travelers, that's how you can look at God, because you're protected. But if you need a shield, it needs to be right here. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. See, it's the job of the fivefold ministry to remind people who your real enemy is. Can I get an amen, guy? Amen. Y'all see that? Y'all understand that? We're going to go down on the lesson sheet to number 4. Number 4. We don't have a faith problem. We have an unbelief problem. Say that with me, everybody.
We don't have a faith problem. We have an unbelief problem.
We need less unbelief. So there's three kinds of unbelief. And I'm just going to lay the foundation and we'll finish it up next week. Three kinds of unbelief. The first kind of unbelief is called lack of knowledge unbelief. How many of you know everybody starts out with lack of knowledge unbelief? Do you know everything you learned from somebody? Be grateful if you learn the right thing from the right person. Very few people do. But how many of you know everybody starts out with lack of knowledge, unbelief? Everybody starts out not knowing anything. But as you live your life, you're given information, and you choose what you believe. Amen? So lack of knowledge, unbelief is real. The cure for lack of knowledge, unbelief is to get the right knowledge. Or to begin understanding. The second kind of unbelief is called wrong doctrine unbelief. Say that, everybody.
Wrong doctrine unbelief.
So if you think that God is sending the rain, I keep doing it. If you think that God is sending the rain, what unbelief problem do you have? You're thinking the wrong thing. You're believing the wrong thing. How many of you know God will let you believe the wrong thing? Do you know God will let you think the wrong thing? That's another thing they misunderstand about God. He's not making anybody do anything. If he was making somebody do something, he'd get everybody saved today, and we'd usher in the millennium, and Jesus would reign on the earth. But we're free moral agents. So if somebody thinks that God's sending the rain, they have wrong doctrine and unbelief. The church, generally speaking, has been taken captive by wrong doctrine and unbelief. That's the reason why on Christian radio, 50% of the songs will be solid, and 50% of the songs will be wrong doctrine. And how many of you know the devil learned something that all of us ought to know? If you say something long enough, people will believe it. How many of you remember, for an illustration, how many of you remember during the political campaign season, during that time, how many of you remember that the Democratic Party, and we have all this on videotape, that the Democratic Party was calling for defunding the police? How many of you remember that? I mean, there's videotape evidence of it. You won't find it on MSNBC or CNN. They won't play it anymore. But we have videotape evidence that they wanted to defund the police. Do you know what Joe Biden said in a speech this week? Do you know what he said in the speech this week? You can't vote Republican because they want to defund the police. I wish I was making it up. But what trick has the devil learned? By the way, he's only a front person. What does the devil know? If you say something long enough, people will believe it. And because MSNBC and CNN are controlled by the devil, they'll play that tape and they'll say, well, my gosh, the Republicans want to defund the police. Instead of knowing that it was actually the Democrats that started all that lying. And that's the reason why the devil introduced a concept into the church called the sovereignty of God and left everything up to God and said it's the way it is because that's the way God wants it. That's wrong doctrine, unbelief. That means you don't have your shield up anymore. You've taken your shield of faith down the moment you say that that's how God wants it. And the devil knew that. You're not resisting the devil the moment you say, well, God, I don't know why you did these things to me, but I'll accept it. And that sounds so wonderful and so sweet, but it's wrong doctrine, unbelief. Amen. And you won't get anything believing that God did it to you. But the problem with that theology is that no matter how it turns out, you can always make it good. Because you can always make it about God. Never about you. Never about the devil. Never about the world. And that's the reason why they bombard us constantly with this thought process. That's the reason why you got to turn off the TV and get in the Word of God and find verses like Ephesians 6:16 and 1 Peter 5:8. You got to find those verses. And then you got to let God reveal to you that He's not the one doing bad things to you. Y'all see that? Does it kind of bother you a little bit when you realize this truth and you realize that most people believe the wrong thing? Now, can you cut me a little slack and say, now, Mark, you're not nearly as mad about it as you used to be. I'm simply just pointing it out so that maybe there'll be some dear person that would get the revelation and no longer blame God for cancer or tuberculosis or polio, or COVID-19. I did that once during COVID. Boy, the Lord scolded me bad. Amen. Y'all see that? Wrong doctrine, unbelief has taken the church captive, and God has had to raise up people that have shown people the truth about the grace revolution and the faith revolution. Now, the faith revolution came along a little earlier than the grace revolution. But thank God, God got grace back into the church that would balance faith so that we could understand that we're getting these things because of God's goodness, not because of our worthiness. Amen. Even though in Christ we're complete and holy and beloved, but in our flesh dwells no good thing. Everybody see that? I'm teaching you a Bible lesson that I would long to be able to teach to the mainstream Christian church. I would long for it. I would love the opportunity. And that's the reason why we made a decision that if people weren't going to come to us, and it's obvious that they weren't, we'd go to them through the radio and through the internet. I'm doing a guy's taxes last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, a real simple tax return, and he brings his girlfriend. They're not married, but he brings his girlfriend's stuff in to see if she needs to file. And I looked at it and I said, no, she don't need to file. And he said, well, I guess she never will because she died. And I'm sitting there like, well, I didn't know that. I'm sorry. And he said, well, you know, it is what it is. But then he said, you know what I'm going to miss the most? I'm going to miss getting in the car on Sunday mornings and listening to the radio program with her. She loved listening to your radio program. Now, you know we'd have never had that opportunity if we hadn't had the courage to go out and put it on the radio. And if you guys hadn't had the kindness to keep funding this so we can do those kind of things. And these are just common, plain folk. Do you know that's who Jesus appealed to? Mark chapter 12, the common people heard him gladly. You know who gave him trouble? Religious Pharisees. Can I just be honest with you? And again, I'm not mad, but you know who our biggest adversaries have been? The mainstream Christian church. that tells people that what we're putting out is, be careful, that's dangerous. Yeah, it is. It's dangerous to the devil. Yeah. The truth of the matter is, they that when you preach the message of the gospel, trouble's going to come your way. But somebody's got to have the courage to tell people that rain's not coming from heaven and he's putting bad things on you. Jesus, the bread of life, came down from heaven and he didn't put a bad thing on anybody. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Again, the reason why this is so hard to comprehend, the reason why this is such a thing, such a traumatic thing for some people, is because they're walking by sight and they see all the misery, they see all the pain, they see all the suffering, and they've been told that if God is God, he could do something about it, and if he's not doing anything about it, it must be the way he wants it. No, God is God, and in his sovereignty, he gave us dominion, he gave us authority, and if we don't exercise our dominion and our authority, we won't see it happen in the church. That's why you got to listen to these things more than once. By the way, I listen to my own stuff. Amen. Because I need to listen to it more than once. Lack of knowledge, unbelief. What's the cure for lack of knowledge, unbelief? Knowledge. What's the cure for wrong doctrine, unbelief? Right knowledge. Right information, right? See, notice how it all comes through people. Because God has put us in, there's a man-made authority on the earth that God won't supersede. And then the third kind of unbelief is called natural unbelief. And I'm not going to have time to go into the great detail about this, but this is going to be the challenge. But let's go through the unbelief kinds first. Number one, so all of us start out with lack of knowledge, unbelief, right? By the way, the Lord did, I do want to say one other thing. I want to get one other thing in. All of us start out with lack of knowledge, unbelief, okay? Number two, the second, wrong doctrine, unbelief. Let me make sure everybody understands something. I'm not implying, I think this is important to say, I am not implying that I have a market on all truth. I don't know everything, but I know enough to be dangerous to the devil. Does that make sense? But I don't know everything. When it comes to the end of time, and how many of you know with what we're involved in now, because I'll say this over and over, I'll keep repeating myself, I'm not going to get much further here. If anybody told me, Al, 10 years ago, that we would have to stand in a pulpit, in a ministerial position, and tell boys that, yes, you are a boy, and tell a girl, yes, you are a girl, and that by us telling that to people that we would be persecuted and be called racist. Did you ever think that day would ever come in this country? No. Did you ever think it would be possible that you would be called a racist because you want your children to know that God made you male and female? In the image of God, he made you. And yet that's where we are. Amen? And because of all this, and then, you know, people dressing up all weird and all this stuff, more and more people are thinking that this might be the last days. How many of you know you're hearing more and more about the last days? These revivals and that kind of stuff. Let me just tell you that there's three theological perspectives relative to the last days. You're either a pre-tribber, and that means you're going to leave the earth before the great tribulation period. You're a mid-tribber, which means you're going to live the earth. You're going to leave the earth in the middle of the tribulation period, because the first 3 years of the tribulation, according to the book of Revelation, is peace. It's not bad. It gets bad the last 3 years, 3.5 years. So you could be a mid-tribber, or you could be a post-tribber. And that means you're going to be around for the whole thing. Somebody said, Mark, what's your theological position on it? It depends on what day it is. It depends on what day it is. I'll get up one morning and I'll say, nah, God hadn't appointed me to wrath. I'm going up with the saints. And then I'll think, well, it would be all right if I had to stick around for the first part of the tribulation. And then I hear about people that say, well, we need to stick around for all of it because there's still some cleansing God has to do to the church. That's completely being uninformed about the gospel. We're the bride of Christ. We've been washed with the water of the Word of God. We are holy and beloved and complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing else God will ever have to do to your spirit. The moment you leave your body, He's not going to do one thing to you except say, come on in. Amen. You are made in the image of my Son, and He's made intercession for you all the days of your life. But I can't tell you. The Gospels talk about the sun being darkened, the moon not giving its light, and all this kind of stuff. So I don't know hardly anything about it. All I know is what the angel said. This is what I know for sure. That same Jesus, that's what the angel told him, Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the same Jesus that went up to heaven is the same Jesus that's going to come back. And he said, as the lightning flashes from the east into the west, that's how the Son of Man's going to return. And here's another thing that people misunderstand. If the church is up there and we've been raptured, people are not going to look at him and be happy. All those corrupt politicians in Washington, D.C. are going to mourn because justice has arrived, and it's not Clint Eastwood and it's not Kurt Russell. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to hold man accountable for what they've done on this earth. And that's why they're going to mourn, because they know that the gig's up and the line's over. So when I talk about us knowing the right doctrine, I don't want anybody to infer that I got it all figured out, because I don't. But I do have some things figured out, and I know the one thing I got figured out. And remember from last week, I got it figured out by revelation. Nobody taught it to me. I didn't get it from some Sunday school teacher. I got it from God's Word. And that is that God is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. I know that. I know that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. I know that God, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. So wrong doctrine and unbelief. So let's say that you've had the great privilege of believing everything I just said. How many of you believe everything I just said? Look at there. Praise God. That's a success right there. You know what your greatest obstacle is going to be? Once you get here, your greatest obstacle is going to be the third thing. You're going to have to be able to learn how to walk by faith, not by sight. You're going to have to be able to understand that the just lives by faith. You're going to have to be able to understand that God is a spirit. He's not natural. Jesus had to become a natural person. Took God 4,000 years to get him in a body. Took him 4,000 years to get him in a body. God is a spirit. I'm the only minister I know that says what I'm going to say. And this is kind of dangerous. So you don't have to receive it. It may not be right. Because anything you hear, you ought to have heard from somebody else. You know, you can find everything I'm out, everything I teach, you can find somebody else teaching it. Now, you got to search for it, right, Robert? It's not pervasive. You go sit in most mainstream churches this Sunday morning, and they're going to stand up there and tell you, I don't know why God's doing it, but we just got to trust in Him. You remember when God came down to talk to Adam and Eve? Remember that? And by the way, it was so cool. It was so cool because He would come down and talk to him in the cool of the day. God wasn't going to sweat. I made it all. You're the one out there going to be doing all that. I made it. I'm going to watch you do these things. But the Bible says He would come down in the cool of the day. And then after they sinned, the Bible says that they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. I believe they never saw Him because they were natural and He's a spirit. You can't see spiritual things. You know what you got to do with spiritual things? You got to believe them. You got to believe spiritual things. How many of you, if I ask you right now, watch how fast hands go up on this. If I ask any of you right now, are you saved? How many of you would put your hand up? And then if I said, do you feel saved? You'd say, well, don't matter. Doesn't matter how I feel. The Bible says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I've called on Him. See that? Oh, if we could just get the church to understand that's how everything works. Amen. God's a spirit. our biggest challenge will be being able to overcome what our natural eyes are saying to us. What we see, what we hear, what we can touch, what we can taste. That'll be our biggest challenge. And then I'm going to close with something that's, you know, I hate to be the one to do it, but you'll never overcome natural unbelief. And I'm speaking from experience. I'm not standing up here, you know, I'm a hypocrite, but there's levels of hypocrisy. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You'll never be able to overcome natural unbelief if the majority of your time, listen to me very carefully, is spent in the natural world. I'm living proof. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I've had two or three things happen to me, and the only reason why they happened to me is I put more time in natural things than I did spiritual things. And the greatest source of spiritual reality, listen to me, is not Mark Browning. It's not Andrew Womack, although I recommend both of them. The greatest source of spiritual reality is the holy written word of God. Jesus Christ said, "My words are spirit and they are life. The flesh profits nothing." The spirit is willing. Oh, I know I can get some testifying going now. Preach on, brother. I wish I was in a black church and they were waving handkerchiefs at me. Preach it, brother. Preach it, brother. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Did you ever notice how easy it is to turn on something in the natural? And how difficult it is to get yourself talked into reading that book? Or praying? Or God forbid you'd fast? I've done a little fasting in my life and it's quite obvious. But I'm telling you, the only way to overcome natural unbelief. I was led by the Spirit of God just now. I was led by the Spirit of God. The only way to overcome natural unbelief, because Jesus said it, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Or in other words, this kind will only come out if you spend more time with me than you do in the world. And you know why our country's in such a bad shape? And it is. It's in a bad shape. You can't sugarcoat how bad things are. We're spending money like crazy people. That's going to come back and bite us sometime down the road. We don't even get our mind around the word tree. You know how much $1 trillion is? You can't even visualize $1 trillion. But you know why we're in the mess we're in? Because of success. I got to finish with this. Remember, he took those stiff-necked, unbelieving Israelites across the desert. Took them 40 years to get somewhere they could have gotten a year and a half. And then they finally got over to the promised land. Oh, I can hear the heart of God on this. I can hear him. I can see him right now. I can understand how he felt. And he told him, he said, "Now, boys and girls, you know what's going to happen to you. You're going to get over there with all them grapes and all them pomegranates and all that land flowing with milk and honey. You're going to get over there, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to forget about me. But I'm going to love you anyway. I'm going to love you anyway." Somebody said, "Well, I was hit so hard on the Israelites because God's wrath." No, because of their stiff-necked, unbelieving hearts. Why is it bad for any of us? Because we're stiff-necked and we're unbelieving. I'm telling you, don't worry about you. I'm talking about Mark Browning. When things aren't right in my life, it's because I'm stiff-necked and unbelieving. All things are possible to him that believes. That's why it says in Hebrews 11:6, real quick, let's stand up or you know how I'll do, man. Come on, the Lord's ministering with me right now. Hebrews 11:6, Jamin. You understand this? See, I didn't finish this. I mean, we've gone this far, we might as well take it all the way to the end, shouldn't we? And give you this verse. People don't like this one. I don't like it much. I don't read it that often. But I know it's in here. Oh my, let me find it. It's Revelation, y'all. Revelation 21:8. Leave Hebrews 11:6 up first. See, there's an element of responsibility in Hebrews 11:6. You see that? There's an element of responsibility in that. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Remember, what is faith? It's an act. It's voice activated. You got to act like what you believe is real, and you act that way. But remember, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that, listen to this, and that He is a, say this, everybody.
Rewarder.
What's the end of your destination if you diligently seek God? Rewards. See that? Notice, and this is just the truth. Revelation 21:8, there's a humorous story in here. I don't have time to say it. We had a pretty good sized church at one time, and I read this verse, and I guess I don't know how to say the word cowardly properly. Cowardly? I think I said cowardly. Anyway, somebody came up to the one of the people at the end of the service, came up and said, my daughter wants to know what cowardly is.
Card.
Yeah, I said card. They want to know, what's a card? But the cowardly, listen to this, listen. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, notice it's in the same category. Notice that these two words, cowardly or fearful and unbelieving, are mixed in with these things that we all agree is bad. Remember, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now listen to me very carefully. That's not you in your spirit. But there's a truth in this verse. The truth is that we think God is sympathetic towards people that are this way, and He's not sympathetic. It's impossible to please God if you don't change and become what He wants you to become, which is a believer. Can you say amen? So say this with me. Say it so they can hear you over to the radio, over to the police station.
I'm a believer
and not a doubter. Say it again.
I'm a believer
and not a doubter.
I'm
going to let Brother Al come and close us in prayer. And if anybody needs specific prayer, or you feel like you just need to come down and validate the message by saying, you know what? I'm a person of faith. I've been saved by grace, and I'm a person of faith. Amen?
Amen to that.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Pray for the church this morning, folks. John 17 and 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Father God, praise you, to worship you, Lord, to thank you for your word, for the sanctification that's going on as we speak, Father God. We take that word seriously. We love you, Lord. We praise you and we worship you, Father God. Lord, I would ask that you touch each and every individual in this church this morning, Father God. Sanctify them. Heal them of every sickness, Father God. And if there is any unsaved soul here, Father God, I would ask that you touch them deeply. Father.
Amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name, Father, we come before you in to glorify you, to thank you. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your generosity, your kindness. And Father God, most of all, for Jesus and finished work on the cross. If there's any among you folks, come up and ask for prayer. The Lord is ready to receive you. The Lord is healing you as we speak. Any among you that are hurting, know that the Lord Jesus Christ is in your heart. He's there working with you this very minute.
Amen.
Healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Can you give me a J?
J.
E. Can you give me an S?
S.
Can you give me a U?
U.
Can you give me an S?
S.
What's that spell?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank y'all. Okay, we'll see y'all back here next Sunday.